Bem-vindos ao JE Entrevista, o programa de entrevistas do Jornal Económico em podcast no Spotify e em todas as plataformas. O nosso convidado desta semana é Søren Lethin, Innovation Catalyst, no grupo LEGO. Søren é dinamarquês, está no grupo LEGO há 34 anos. Tem background em marketing, mas especializou-se em inovação. Define-se como curioso e enérgico e lidera a unidade Innovation Everywhere, que marca o ritmo da inovação de uma marca mítica, mas que está em constante inovação. Num mundo cada vez mais digital, em que a inteligência artificial parece dominar o rumo da inovação tecnológica, que espaço resta à brincadeira e com que blocos se vai construir o futuro da criatividade? Søren Lethin foi o convidado desta semana do Innov Club, uma colaboração entre a BTI, uma consultora de inovação colaborativa, e a Sociedade de Advogados Vieira de Almeida. Como sempre, o Jornal Económico orgulha-se de ser membro desta iniciativa. Esta entrevista será conduzida em inglês. Welcome, Søren. So I would like to start asking you, what's the job of an innovation catalyst? Yeah. How would you define your job?
Oh, it's a very good question. I would like to say that it's about having fun all day.
but we have that idea.
Yeah, we have that.
So don't spoil it.
No, but basically what my job is, and I've been, as you also heard, I could actually quite understand quite a lot what you said. I've been in the company so long and been working in all sorts of areas of the company. But one thing I always felt was lacking, that was that to tie the normal, what we call incremental innovation, so the bread and butter industry, okay, like, you know, the Lego City, the normal products, to tie that together with innovating for the future.
Yeah.
And so the point has always been, there's been this little bit trench, like saying, all right, we got all the innovation we need for the classic products, that's here and now. And then we have this department that I've always been in different versions, where it's about innovating for the future. And it's always been a little bit separate, those two things.
So that other part, it's a kind of a dream. I want to be this.
Yeah.
I think that this could work in the market.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. But and you can almost say that one side was almost too dreamy and another side was almost too realistic.
Yeah.
But what's been interesting, and back to your question about what is a catalyst, the job is then to tie those two things together. How do we think about the future to future fit some of the core businesses we have? So it could be a good example here would be our Lego City range, which has been very much about looking at portraying the world as it is, but by listening to consumers, working with kids, we found out that their world is much more about what happens in my city and what do I like to do.
Okay.
So my job as a catalyst is to say, take all those insights we can generate from consumers, from changing culture, and from the business, and inject that into the normal business, so that we basically future fit those areas that we want to build.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my job,
yeah,
to facilitate, almost see it as an internal agency,
okay,
that are, yes, helping teams to innovate.
So that's a kind of a dream job for you?
It is. It is very much. It's very much a dream job. I've been doing so many things in Lego, including being in Portugal, by the way. But I've been always been striving to really think about the consumer first. To what would the kids want to do in the future has always been my starting point, and I think what made this a dream job now is that I created this myself, this idea that instead of selling my ideas, I would much rather facilitate others to have the great ideas.
Okay.
And it's funny that I thought in the beginning that my dream job would be to, like, you know, listen to what ideas I have, but it's actually much more fulfilling to get teams to rally behind a shared vision and purpose for the kids.
Mm-hmm. You said that at the session at Enough Club, you have told that children are the role models to LEGO Group. What do we can learn from them?
We can learn everything from kids, right? But I think what we can learn is to listen genuinely to what their needs are and where they are heading. And sometimes it's about listening and providing what they want, but sometimes it's also about, you know, giving them what they don't know they want. And I think that's really important, because yes, we're inspired by what kids do, but kids also live in a hard world, to be realistic, that there's so much pressure on kids. There's so
too much pressure.
Yeah, I think there is. And also that there is so many offerings. You can go online, you can do this, you can do that. And we're asking a lot of kids, and they, in principle, they just need to play. They, you know, that's what play is. That is trying out the things that you do in real life. And I think that's personally what I have seen when interviewing a lot of kids. That's what they have a hard time finding, both time for, but certainly also where to focus and what to do. What to do. A good example here is that lately we've done a lot of talks with boys about what their world looks like. And it's so clear that a lot of the confidence, like, you know, I just want to battle. I just want to, you know, chop people's head off, whatever.
Just boys talking.
But when we talk to boys today, a lot of that talk is like saying, oh, do you know what? Maybe I'm too wild. Maybe this and that. So they're almost...
Like they were already grown up.
Exactly.
Right?
And it's a little bit sad, actually.
Yeah.
So that's where I think my mission is. Can we change some of that? Can we give them those spaces where they can be allowed to be boys on their terms?
Yeah.
And I think that's where, back to the point, is that there's so many hindrances for kids today. School, people expecting them to do this and that. So they just escape into the digital world. But we in LEGO, we really want to keep them on the physical play. There's so much, by keeping your imagination, your creativity intact, that you can, you know, reflect on the world in a much better sense.
That's very interesting. Mm-hmm. I will just give a step back to your function at LEGO to ask you, which advices would you give to companies which are too focused in the daily basis and don't have time to look at the planning of the future?
Really good question. I think it's of course not a one fix, but I do believe that it's about opening your eyes and looking at the problems to solve from a consumer's perspective. I think the simple way of explaining, instead of constantly thinking inside out about what's your business, what's our goals, how do we maximize this, dare to look outside in, dare a little bit to learn. And I think the way we express
to merge with the consumer.
And but also learn. I think learn from the consumer. So I think my point here is, if my advice would be for people that are stuck in the everyday world, is to spend some more time designing for learning rather than designing for end result. What that means is that dare to ask the question. Be brave enough to go out and say, are we doing the right thing? What if we did like this? So that's what we have done, and what I daily do is to say, I don't, in principle, care about the end design or the end goal. It's about the learnings that we can provide, because that will also help de-risk. Think of it this way, that if you have a great idea in a company and you are in this, you know, daily business, you just keep going and keep building on it, but you might actually be wrong if you don't know. It's your idea.
Yeah.
Whereas what I'm saying here is, like, what we have been focusing on is, by designing for learning, we constantly make risky assumptions and hypotheses about how the world could be.
We have a panoramic view of the situation.
Yeah, right? And it's
because you're not so limited to your idea and you have the possibility to learning about seeing the whole panoramic view.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because that inspires then back.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is here that as a team, because there's another dimension to this. One thing is that it'll heighten your innovation and you'll be more curious about the world. But what's even more interesting is it's my experience that teams that work with this are much more inspired and engaged in the problem because we're solving a real human problem. We're solving that, you know, it's not about, oh, let's maximize business on this and this. It's about saying, no, kids want to back to the city. Yeah. They want to have their own city where I decide the rules. And if everybody gets that vision from that insight, it gets so much more inspiring for the entire team, whether it's marketeers, innovators, or salespeople, to just say, do you know what? This city
this could
is
work.
For kids. It's for kids to decide what happens in this city. Whereas instead of going, oh, this is a police car, it costs €9, right?
You
know, you see that you're really, it becomes much more a real thing for kids. It's a real purpose that you innovate for.
Okay. So you have already talked about this, but I want you to develop a little bit. In a world where the digital is ruling, where does it fit to play with Lego and stimulate creativity like we do when we were young?
Yeah. And again, a really good question.
To digital the world or
no? It depends. I think, you know, because I'm an old guy, right? You know, but so of course I would, you know, my natural instinct would say that the world has gone too digital for kids. But that's just me, right? But if I listen to the kids, they don't think that way. I think what's important to understand is that in their mind it's seamless. They don't distinguish. Now I'm digital. Now I'm physical.
Yeah.
It's one world.
Okay.
But so what we can provide in that is to make sure that when they both play in the digital and physical world, that there is both options. So it's not about, so for instance, our collaboration now with Epic Games and Fortnite, it's not only about saying, all right, play in digital games. It's how it's inspired to bring it back to physical games.
To the physical games.
A good example again here is like Lego Star Wars. Lego Star Wars was first and foremost a video game back 25 years ago when we launched it. That's what created the impact on kids. But most important, the fact that they had so much fun playing the video game made them go out and buy the physical toys.
True.
It just served two purposes. The video game was great for stories and fun and getting into the universe, but the toys gave them the opportunity to make their own stories. So that's really where our belief in Lego is that it's not an either or, it's the symbiosis between.
And it's not separated. It's not
separated.
Universes that are separated. They are all the same in the kids' mind.
Exactly.
Right? I think that's true. Yeah. So do you consider that each generation of potential Lego owners is becoming more and more picky?
It's an interesting question. I think not necessarily by heart are they becoming more picky, but there's certainly more options.
Okay.
So there's so many choices out there, Lego just being one of them. Whereas maybe before it was like there was not so many things to choose from. So I played with what was there. But I think today there's so many offers that it's almost like hard for them to choose. And I think that's also why a lot of kids today, they tend to go into the digital universes where I can just relax and be myself. There's no demands. I think maybe I wouldn't use the word picky.
Okay.
I would probably use the word that it's too easy to not give an effort.
Okay. Okay.
What I mean by that is that there's so many choices and it's so easy to be spoon-fed, to just digest. To either just watch TV or just sit and game without actually putting an effort into it. So I would probably, the way I've seen it and the way I've experienced it with kids is that they're almost overwhelmed. So they just take the easy, the easy way out, and they'd take the just entertain me.
Okay. Okay.
But what's so interesting is that when it's unlocked, when kids unleash their imagination, magic happens. Like when they really let go and try to play, the magic that happens in their brain and in their mind is fantastic.
And that's the same in every generation?
It is.
Or it is changing?
The human brain is that, you know, we are inventive by nature. We want to do things and we want to try things out. I think that's really what makes kids unique, and hopefully why also Lego has prevailed for so long, is because you decide what to do. You know, we had a little exercise today in this one where we said, here's a few bricks that can make a dock, but you can make any dock in the world. Nothing is wrong. And that's where imagination starts. So sometimes, to your question, I think the fact that the world is overwhelming, there's so many choices, also has the negative effect for some kids that they just go, do you know what? I'll just lean back and let me be entertained.
Yeah.
Then I don't have to put myself at stake, you know, or put myself into. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, that I think we see that patterns. But when they do, and when they try to use their brain and use imagination, magic happens.
Yeah. So, in your perspective, what's the future of playing?
I think the future of play is not that different. I think the future of play is, of course, changing media, where the play takes place, how much you do it. But I do believe that play in the future will be more immersed. And I'll explain what I mean.
Yeah.
What I mean is here that universes become so rich that you can both be entertained by them, but you can also play them out. We used to, I know you talked about Lego Star Wars. That's exactly what happened with Lego Star Wars back in the day. I loved the video game. It gave me the immersion, but I could prolong the play by bringing the real toys to life. So I think that pattern will still be there and it'll enhance even further. I think what the problem is not defining the future of play. I think the challenge for mankind would be to let go and let, you know, and play. Like to not give in and be entertained, but actually to invest in playful behavior and playful activities.
Okay.
That's probably my answer on that.
During your presentation, you talked about the importance of finding that moments where parents and kids could play together.
Yeah.
How crucial is that for Lego?
I think it's actually
because each time are rare moments, right?
And it's about savoring those moments. I think there's two dimensions to this one. One is that people think much less time than before, so they savor those moments. And I think the more we can help them have meaningful moments together, the more it also helps them. Then back to the beginning, then we really understand their needs. We have a need for meaningful moments together. Please give us those. The thing is, if you don't take those moments, that's the other side. This is why parents is actually quite a huge part of kids' play. This is also why you see so many of our themes that are, you know, old classics. We keep on referring to Star Wars, but it could equally be Batman, Indiana Jones, what have you. That is that kind of nostalgic, you know, heritage of the parents. It's a good way for them to connect with their kids.
Yeah,
and it creates a natural meeting point. And funny enough, not because it should be about Star Wars all the time, but now we have 25th anniversary on Lego Star Wars. And what we can see here is that some parents and kids actually say there's more imagination in Lego Star Wars than there is in normal Lego. Let's call it that. Because they both have an idea about it. Parents have a nostalgic memory about Star Wars, and kids want to play the action play that comes. So they meet on the fun middle point. Yeah, it's not whereas many parents they will go, oh, I have to play with my child. I'm not really bothered playing a ball game again.
If you have Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker.
But that's where some of those things. Now we mentioned Lego Star Wars as an example, but there's a uniter there. But Lego, of course, a little bit have the same nostalgia that some parents have grown up with Lego and they want to play it with their kids so they both have fun. I think that's really the key. It's all about fun. And, you know, and parents are just big kids.
It's true.
Kids are, you know, wanting to spend meaningful time with their parents. In the ideal world, that's the future of play, that we actually understand to play more together.
Mm-hmm. You defined three principles at Lego: be brave, be focused, and be curious. Yeah. Can you explain the importance of those three topics? And I would like to ask you also if to innovate is always a risking job.
Let me start with the values. I think what is important to understand is that in Lego, we made those three terms our leadership, as our guidelines for leadership. So we're asking everyone in the company to live by those three words. You know, being focused, being brave on behalf of taking the right decision. So it's equally a management structure. But most important, being curious. And I think this is what, and the reason why I mentioned curious last is because that's what links to innovation. And I think if we stop being curious, innovation will also cease to exist.
Yeah.
If we stop being brave, innovation will cease to exist. But also focus. I think there's a misperception maybe sometimes that innovation, oh, it's just a wild process and then boom, we go in every direction and then magic happens at the end. It is a focused job to be innovator. It needs to be extremely tied down by tools and ways to work there. But that was kind of like explaining the three areas. But to your question about innovation and whether that would be... how was it again? Sorry.
If to innovate is always a risking job.
Yeah. And I would hope... If it wasn't a risky job, it wouldn't be fun. It wouldn't be relevant to do. Because if you don't ask yourself the questions, if you're not curious about the world, the innovation would not happen. And if you don't take the risk, it would not happen. And I think that's the point, that being innovative is about taking risks, but taking also calculated risks. So what we do in our innovation funnel is that we invest in those risky assumptions, actually. So meaning that when I go to my management, I don't go to my management saying, look at this great idea I have, won't you please invest in it? I go to my management saying, do you know what? I have a risk that, play might change, or that preschool parents, like as we talked about before, they don't want to buy toys because they want to buy meaningful times with my kids, what have you. That's a risky assumption for our toy business. Or, you know, that's where I'm saying, what my management would then say, saying, all right, great, we understand your risk. There's a risk that parents won't buy toys because blah, blah, blah. But what we want you to do and what we want you to investigate is to say, what are the risky assumptions? What is the hypothesis you're creating around this? And prove it via learning so we can actually go out and say, all right, if we bring those learnings together, that's our innovation foundation. That's what we can make a difference. So it's the risk that makes innovation thrive. And it's the risk that creates the problem to solve for.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's just an idea that you're trying to sell in. But if you're not fundamentally solving a consumer problem, it's not innovation.
I would like to ask you, there's this topic about the artificial intelligence, and I would like to ask you, is this a potential enemy for the Lego culture or a business opportunity, in your opinion?
I think, like any other media, it takes getting used to. Like, you know, people said the same when television came, that, you know, we're not going to do anything. True. And when internet
and
came,
the internet.
It's all that. I think it needs to find its place. I think it's, for Lego, so far, it's of course just a huge inspiration. What can people come up with and what would happen? We already see examples of it. Again, a little side story. People coming into Lego stores with pictures they've found of AI generated models and, oh, I want this horse. I was like, sorry, it's not a horse. It's like,
it's not available.
So that is, of course, happening. But it just shows the creativity. So I think it's just a new form of creativity that's emerging. And who knows? Maybe that is the future of creativity. I still firmly believe, though, that no matter how much you do virtually, as a human being, we are hands on, minds on. We won't shake the fact that we need things in our fingers, and I think that's where we can play a role, being that bridge between the two worlds.
Okay. I had so many questions for you, but I will have to end this interview with this question. Considering the huge importance of Lego Group in the society, do you consider that this company have a special responsibility on the shaping of the personality of future generations?
I definitely think we have, and I think we have not only we not only have the possibility to do it, we also have like the responsibility to do it. We are a big family-owned company that live by play, and we can see back to our discussion again. There's less and less play time. There's less and less, you know, more and more offers. So I think we have a huge obligation as a company to make change, and that is also the objective of Lego now. Luckily, we're a family-owned company and invest a lot of our money back into our foundation. So a lot of this is driving opinion leaders and others. Even though we, of course, no doubt, a commercial brand, we also have the family, the owners behind Lego, and the founders, have a huge desire and obligation to keep play. Mm-hmm. Active in the world.
Okay, building the future brick by brick.
Yeah.
Construir o futuro, bloco a bloco. Muito obrigado, Sorin Letin. Esta foi uma entrevista no âmbito do Inov Club, uma colaboração entre a BTI e a Sociedade de Advogados Vieira de Almeida. Acompanhe estes e outros temas no podcast JE Entrevista e toda a atualidade em jornaleconómico.pt. Até à próxima.